18. But someone was booming again. Mayella Violet Yule. A young girl walked to the witness stand. As she raised her hand and swore that the evidence she gave would be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help her God, she seemed somehow fragile-looking, but when she sat facing us in the witness chair, she became what she was, a thick-bodied girl accustomed to strenuous labor. In Macomb County, it was easy to tell when someone bathed regularly, as opposed to yearly lavations. Mr. Yule had a scalded look, as if an overnight soaking had deprived him of protective layers of dirt. His skin appeared to be sensitive to the elements. Mayella looked as if she tried to keep clean, and I was reminded of the row of red geraniums in the Yule yard. Mr. Gilmer asked Mayella to tell the jury in her own words what happened on the evening of November 21st of last year. Just in her own words, please. Mayella sat silently. "Where were you at dusk on that evening?" began Mr. Gilmer patiently. "On the porch." "Which porch?" "Ain't but one, the front porch." "What were you doing on the porch?"
"Nothing."
Judge Taylor said, "Just tell us what happened. You can do that, can't you?" Mayella stared at him and burst into tears. She covered her mouth with her hands and sobbed. Judge Taylor let her cry for a while. Then he said, "That's enough now. Don't be afraid of anybody here as long as you tell the truth. All this is strange to you, I know, but you've nothing to be ashamed of and nothing to fear. What are you scared of?" Mayella said something behind her hands. "What was that?" asked the judge.
"Him," she sobbed, pointing at Atticus.
"Mr. Finch?"
She nodded vigorously, saying, "Don't want him doing me like he done Papa, trying to make him out left-handed."
Judge Taylor scratched his thick white hair. It was plain that he had never been confronted with a problem of this kind. "How old are you?" he asked.
19 and a half, Mayella said.
Judge Taylor cleared his throat and tried unsuccessfully to speak in soothing tones. "Mr. Finch has no idea of scaring you," he growled, "and if he did, I'm here to stop him. That's one thing I'm sitting up here for. Now, you're a big girl, so you just sit up straight and tell us what happened to you. You can do that, can't you?" I whispered to Jim, "Has she got good sense?" Jim was squinting down at the witness stand. "Can't tell yet," he said. "She's got enough sense to get the judge sorry for her, but she might be just, oh, I don't know." Mollified, Mayella gave Atticus a final terrified glance and said to Mr. Gilmer,
"Well, sir, I was on the porch, and he came along, and you see, there was this old shift robe in the yard Papa brought in to chop up for kindling. Papa told me to do it while he was off in the woods, but I wasn't feeling strong enough then, so he came by."
"Who is he?" Mayella pointed to Tom Robinson. "I'll have to ask you to be more specific, please," said Mr. Gilmer. "The reporter can't put down gestures very well."
"That and yonder," she said. "Robinson."
"Then what happened?"
"I said, 'Come here, nigger, and bust up this shift robe for me. I got a nickel for you.' He could have done it easy enough. He could. So he come in the yard, and I went in the house to get him the nickel, and I turned around, and before I knew it, he was on me. Just run up behind me, he did. He got me round the neck, cussing me and saying dirt. I fought and hollered, and he had me round the neck. He hit me again and again."
Mr. Gilmer waited for Mayella to collect herself. She had twisted her handkerchief into a sweaty rope. When she opened it to wipe her face, it was a mass of creases from her hot hands. She waited for Mr. Gilmer to ask another question, but when he didn't, she said, "He chunked me on the floor and choked me and took advantage of me." "Did you scream?" asked Mr. Gilmer. "Did you scream and fight back?"
"Reckon I did. Hollered for all I was worth. Kicked and hollered loud as I could."
"Then what happened?"
"I don't remember too good, but next thing I knew, Papa was in the room standing over me hollering, 'Who done it? Who done it?' Then I sort of fainted, and the next thing I knew, Mr. Tate was pulling me up off of the floor and leading me to the water bucket."
Apparently, Mayella's recital had given her confidence, but it was not her father's brash kind. There was something stealthy about hers, like a steady-eyed cat with a twitchy tail. "You say you fought him off as hard as you could. Fought him tooth and nail?" asked Mr. Gilmer.
"I positively did,"
Mayella echoed her father. "You are positive that he took full advantage of you?" Mayella's face contorted, and I was afraid that she would cry again. Instead, she said, "He done what he was after." Mr. Gilmer called attention to the hot day by wiping his head with his hand. "That's all for the time being," he said pleasantly. "But you stay there. I expect big, bad Mr. Finch has some questions to ask you. State will not prejudice the witness against counsel for the defense," murmured Judge Taylor primly. "At least not at this time." Atticus got up grinning, but instead of walking to the witness stand, he opened his coat and hooked his thumbs in his vest. Then he walked slowly across the room to the windows. He looked out, but didn't seem especially interested in what he saw. Then he turned and strolled back to the witness stand. From long years of experience, I could tell he was trying to come to a decision about something. "Miss Mayella," he said, smiling, "I won't try to scare you for a while. Not yet. Let's just get acquainted. How old are you?"
"Said I was 19. Said it to the judge yonder."
Mayella jerked her head resentfully at the bench. So you did, ma'am. You'll have to bear with me, Miss Mayella. I'm getting along and can't remember as well as I used to. I might ask you things you've already said before, but you'll give me an answer, won't you?" "Good." I could see nothing in Mayella's expression to justify Atticus's assumption that he had secured her wholehearted cooperation. She was looking at him furiously. "Won't answer a word you say long as you keep on mocking me," she said.
"Ma'am?"
asked Atticus, startled. "Long as you keep on making fun of me." Judge Taylor said, "Mr. Finch is not making fun of you. What's the matter with you?" Mayella looked from under lowered eyelids at Atticus, but she said to the judge, "Long as he keeps on calling me ma'am and saying Miss Mayella, I don't have to take his sass. I ain't called upon to take it." Atticus resumed his stroll to the windows and let Judge Taylor handle this one. Judge Taylor was not the kind of figure that ever evoked pity, but I did feel a pang for him as he tried to explain. "That's just Mr. Finch's way," he told Mayella. "We've done business in this court for years and years, and Mr. Finch is always courteous to everybody. He's not trying to mock you. He's trying to be polite. That's just his way." The judge leaned back. "Atticus, let's get on with these proceedings and let the record show that the witness has not been sassed. Her views to the contrary." I wondered if anybody had ever called her ma'am or Miss Mayella in her life. Probably not, as she took offense to routine courtesy. What on earth was her life like? I soon found out. "You say you're 19," Atticus resumed. "How many sisters and brothers have you?" He walked from the windows back to the stand. 7, she said, and I wondered if they were all like the specimen I had seen the first day I started to school. "You the eldest?" "The oldest." "Yes." "How long has your mother been dead?"
"Don't know. Long time."
"Did you ever go to school?"
"Read and write good as Papa yonder."
Mayella sounded like a Mr. Jingle in a book I had been reading. "How long did you go to school?"
"2 year, 3 year, don't know."